David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm so excited because we have a very special guest. She actually has a podcast on our channel. She is an amazing life coach, and she's also an author. And she is just a wonderful individual who's part of our podcast team, and she has such great things to teach. Today she wants to go into her new book that's going to be launching very shortly. It's called Grace Yourself, How to Show Up for the Sober Life You Want. And it's an amazing book, and she's going to tell you about it, and she's going to tell you also how she actually came to this idea, and also the writing structure, how much she put into it, and how it actually, you know, came together. So it's really interesting because there's so many people out there that want to write a book, they just don't know where to begin. And I think this is great for anybody out there that has a story or has an idea and really wants to learn how to write a book, and you know, this is the person to ask. So, Chris, it's a pleasure as always to have you on the show. I'm really excited. You know, tell me a little about, you know, Grace Yourself, the book, and how you actually came up with the idea and the purpose behind it. Because we all have a passion, and we all have a reason why we write these books. And what was your reason for wanting to write Grace Yourself?
So good to be here with you again, Stacey. Thank you. This is my second book, and I've been a coach for several years now. I am a life coach. My clients are, I'm actually trained as a coach to coach anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
However, my clients over the years, and what I love, who I love coaching, is high performers, high achievers, people struggling with performance pressure and self-sabotage, perfectionism. And I think we're experts at serving the person we once were. And so I used to be that person. And I think that's really why that's been my niche over the years. So I wrote a first book called Living All In, How to Show Up for the Life You Want. And I wrote that for my clients so that I would have my favorite tools written down. It came out in 2022. I self-published it, and it's been super helpful as a tool for serving my clients. Well, I love writing, got the writing bug. And then I started the second one.
Yeah.
And it's another coaching book. However, this one is the subtitle's How to Show Up for the Sober Life You Want. And so in order to teach these more coaching tools, I thought, let's really speak to that client that I'm working with, the recovering perfectionist, the person struggling with self-sabotage. So I am sober. I got sober in 2007. So I've had 18 years of recovery experience. So in this book, I share my story of alcohol addiction in order to help other people with whatever their stronghold is. So it's not a book only for people addicted to alcohol.
Yeah.
It's for, like I said, for people struggling with anything that has a hold on them, anything that's tripping them up. And in order to do that, I really needed to share my own story, which is vulnerable. It's funny. I finished writing and I thought, oh shoot, now I have to share it with people, because I realized a lot of people just didn't know. They knew I didn't drink alcohol. They didn't know why. I never thought to, you know, over time, you don't really just go around blabbing your recovery story to everybody. I wasn't ashamed of it. It just wasn't a part of my life I needed to share with everybody. My close friends knew, but some close friends didn't know. And when I finished writing the book, you know, even good friends and family are like, wow, I didn't know all this. And it's been good. I'm glad I did it. It's a little embarrassing to get vulnerable like that, but it's going to serve a lot of people. And I'm happy. I'm happy it's coming out now. And I should say too, it's not like I had this secret to myself. I talk a lot about community in the book, and my recovery community knows I'm so, like, I have a whole group of people that know that I am in recovery with that knows my story. So when I say nobody really knew, or a lot of people didn't know, I mean in my, personal and social life.
A lot of people, have a hard time, sharing a personalized story like that. And, how did you get the resilience to actually do it? Because there's so many people that have gone through things in life and their stories are really, really touching. And, it's very hard for them to come out and talk about it. There are people that have gone through a lot of things similar to you, whether it's addiction or it's physical abuse, or they've gone through, different things in life, even near-death experiences. And it was really hard to talk about because it brought flashbacks, How did you get the resilience to actually, come out and say, I'm going to share this story. I'm going to help others through my message? Because a lot of people want to do that. They want to be an author. They want to share their story. They want to share their message, but they're really scared to really come out, and because they're worried about what others are going to think, or they're worried, what's going to happen, if I share my story with the world.
Two things. One, you don't have to. Nobody had you don't we don't have to be loud and proud and go telling everybody. I think it's important if someone has trauma in their life though to talk about it to at least one person. We live in a day and age where we have support groups for everything. So I'm a huge advocate for community. And but I also am an advocate for anonymous communities. We don't have to just because we don't want to share with people who may not understand doesn't mean we're keeping it in the dark and are shameful about it. That's important. Just you don't the only way to take shame off something's not to go talk about it. It's just some people aren't on the same frequency. So the community groups are great, whether it's abuse or any like all the things you just mentioned. They're great because you're in community with somebody who's been where you've been and who wants to stay unstuck and get where you want to go. So that's the first thing is you don't have to go write a book and tell the whole world about it. That is not necessary to heal. The second thing is writing, the act of writing, whether it's in a journal, a book, on your computer, wherever, is very healing. So I think that when somebody's working through something, writing will help. It doesn't mean you have to show it to everybody. So for me, when I wrote this book, and this is what I want to tell people thinking about writing a book, is write for you. Don't Right, know who you're writing to. For me, I was writing this for myself and to that person who may be where I once was. And I had a very specific person, not a whole audience, a person in mind that I was writing to. And so write to that person. That person might be yourself. It might be someone else that is stuck and you want that person to know these lessons. Don't write for everybody. Don't write thinking everyone's going to read this because if I did that, I wouldn't have finished the book. That can be terrifying. So you can write and write and write and write, and with the mindset that nobody needs to see it. For me, I think after I did finish it, I had enough people that were really supportive that I trusted with the manuscript that said, yes, let's do this. We want to support you and get these words out into the world. And so that support gave me the courage just to, because at some point I have to get over my embarrassment and not waste a pain. And if I have a story that can help other people, then I do want to share it. That's just my experience. So it can look different for everybody.
For sure. I know when I wrote my books, I focused on, like you just said, I focused on telling the story to myself. And then I remember when I finished the manuscript and I gave it to someone to just look at, they didn't go through what I went through. So they didn't really, some of the stuff they just didn't relate to. And they're like, I don't understand why you put this. Maybe you talk too much about this. But they didn't walk through my shoes. And if I showed, I probably should have showed the manuscript, not to a family member, but somebody who actually experienced it. And I think I would have got better feedback. And I say, to people, don't listen to other people's feedback, especially if they haven't walked through your shoes, because you really have to do it for you. This is something that really, when you write a book, you're not gonna make $1 million off the book. You're not going to, a book is a book really is to help others, and it's to show that you have credibility, to show that I understand. I understand this topic. I've been through it. I have experienced it. And I can help you. And when you add all these thoughts going on in your head, because like all these things you've gone through, how did you begin? Because a lot of people don't know where to begin. They don't know what the title is going to be. They don't know how to start the book. They don't know, they don't know what chapters to put in it. How did you actually organize everything, step one, and you started to actually put everything together and make your way down the line?
I think a great way to start writing is to start with the end. So if you're writing fiction, know how the story ends, and then how it begins will come naturally. So writing backwards in a sense. If we're writing self-help, both my books are self-help, know the end of that. Who did you become? Right? Not that we're not evolving all the time. It's just at the point of time when I started writing the book, who did I become? And then ask yourself, how did I get there? And write those things down. And then that way the strategy will come out.
Exactly. When you were writing, did you get a lot of thoughts that came through your head as you were writing? Because a lot of times writers will say, as they're writing, all of a sudden, emotions start to develop and all of a sudden a gush of thoughts start coming through their head. Did you experience that when you were writing?
Absolutely. It's a transformational process. So there's not I'm not just putting knowledge I have down on paper. You're learning as you write, which is why I think writing, even if you're not planning to show it to anybody, is a wonderful way to heal and grow.
It is. It is. I know when I wrote my one of my books, I started as a journal. I started writing as a journal, and then I realized that it was very therapeutic for myself. And then I turned it into a book. And then someone had emailed me and said, I just want to say thank you because I was on the verge of suicide, and you saved my life. And that was such, I think that was the most rewarding experience that I ever felt. And I couldn't even explain it in words. And it was just, because someone understood what I was going through. Someone, and then I, from my own perspective, I gave a solution of what I did to help myself. And that inspired that other person to take some of that advice and apply it to their life, and it worked. And I think that's what books are about. Books are to help others really grow, to teach, when it comes to self-help. It really is to just to inspire, to give them guidance, to show them other ways, maybe help the spark the light bulb to go on, because sometimes people feel lost. They just don't know what to do.
Well, and I think sharing stories is how we all know that we're not alone. That's why recovery groups works. In recovery, we don't sit around and give advice and tell each other what to do. We just sit there and share stories. So you feel connected. You know you're not alone. While everyone's story is not going to look exactly like yours, it's a group of people who has the same goal in mind. You're all headed to the same place, right? I say with alcohol recovery, and I say this in my book, that why I drank is not as important to me today as why I don't drink. And when I'm in a recovery community, I'm in a room full of people who have the same goal of not drinking. We all have reasons, way different reasons, that we drink.
Yes.
right? We drink happy, sad, mad, or glad. Like, we don't sit around and talk about
Yes.
that. We share experience, strength, and hope for why we don't.
Right.
And I love what, your take on writing. Yeah, people, if someone's thinking of writing a book, you won't get rich from it. It's going to be, unless you're Stephen King, it's
Right.
going to be a supplement to what you're already doing.
Yes.
And I love what you said about the person who gave you feedback and was about to commit suicide. And the thing to remember is, there are, what about all the people who didn't reach out that you
Right.
helped? There's, we just don't know. We don't
Yeah.
know the impact. And so if something was put on your heart to write, I do believe we have a responsibility with that message. And then if you do write it and put it in a book, my belief is that I have now a responsibility to steward that message
Yeah.
really for the rest of my life because I
Yeah.
wrote it in a book.
I think what inspired me is that when I started to mentor, I just started to volunteer and advocate just like you had your community, and I started to help others. I realized that my story had such an impact on other people's lives, and the conclusions that I came to and I shared with others had inspired others, to try to, want to do something and not give up. And I think that's what really I started to like come out of that shell, because there's so much stigmatism in our world. We're labelized every, and I think that's why so many people are afraid sometimes to share, because they don't want to be labelized. That's the one of the one bad thing about our society is that there's so many labels, and they automatically, stigmatize a person according to what they've gone through, and it's not true. And when I actually was in my community and I shared and I was helping others, that's when I realized that I don't need to be ashamed. I don't need to, hold back, because I'm helping these people. So I should, try to take my story and help others, and if I could help one person, imagine what I could do, And it's funny that you said it's you're not alone. That's why, that's the one great thing about sharing your message. And that was the first thing I called my book. I was like, I'm epilepsy, you're not alone, What made you decide on your title too? Because you wrote the book from the end and then you worked your way up, but how did you decide on the title? Because the title is really a very important factor of the book. And Grace Yourself, like, how did that come to your mind? David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yes, I love this question. So I'm a person of faith. To me, grace is God's unmerited favor. It's what I'm given freely that I didn't earn or deserve. And as a person, and a lot of my clients fall in this category as people that struggled with perfectionism and rigid thinking and harmful habits and self-sabotage, a lot of us feel that, well, I'll speak for myself. As a young woman, I didn't understand grace because I didn't understand the concept of that I just got something that I didn't earn, that I didn't control. Control is a big part of all of this, addiction and all the people I help, because in essence, we're controlling the way we feel. We're controlling our state. So control is a thing that people like me struggle with. And I thought I didn't understand the concept that I get something that I didn't control. I thought, I'll tell you what I'm worth, and I'm not worthy. And if you're a person that struggles with depression and self-loathing and negative self-talk, you can really fall into that. So the grace yourself is really suck it up. You're worthy no matter what. You do not get to decide how valuable you are. You're not in control of your worth. And so that's really the underlying theme of the entire book.
Wow, I
And
love
that's
that.
where the title came from.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's so important, like, to have a title that really sums it up, because a lot of times people will put a title, but they don't put thought into it. And then people don't understand what it really means, like, what the book is about. So titles are very important, because we're talking about creating books and stuff like that, and for people who want to know. But just like you had a purpose for this title, and the way you worded it really sums it up. It was brief, blunt, to the point, and it really sums it up. And I think people should realize, when if they are considering writing a book, to do it the way you did. You basically you have there's a special meaning behind it, and then you basically in a title and a subtitle, you basically shared exactly what the book was going to be about. So people look at that title and they know what it's going to be about. Now you have
It's re yeah, it's
go ahead.
important. Well,
No.
I was going to say, even if, people, a clear, concise title, and your title should always let people know what the book's about. I don't think Grace Yourself is, it's a great title. I don't think people would know just from that title what the book's about. So subtitles are really important.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yes. Now, you also the vibrant colors you used. How did you go about, choosing the cover? Yeah.
I love bright colors. So, the publisher gave me a few options, and every publisher person you work with will be different.
Yeah.
Even when I self-published, I worked with a really wonderful artist,
Yeah.
and it was the same process for both books. I gave them ideas. Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Then they gave me assortment of what about these?
Yeah.
And then, I think most of us kind of know that gut feeling, like, okay,
Yes.
that's the one. So once I picked it, then you can make small adjustments, like bring up brighter blue or bright,
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, that's how it did. And I love, so my first book here, I'll hold it up, because so the first book has this splash of color, and I
Yeah.
wanted them to look good together.
Right.
So I think they look great
They
together.
do. They do.
And just all that color to me is all of us, we're just full of ups and downs, highs and lows, all types of emotions,
Yeah.
right? We're colorful human beings.
Oh, 100%. And even with the psychology of color, each color represents specific things, and it brings out specific emotions and feelings. When you look at specific colors, it just, automatically it just elevates, our brain and triggers certain things when we see specific colors. And I like that the red just brings out the vibrance. It really attracts your attention. And then you have blue, which is like a moment of calmness. So it's like you have, this thrust of motivation, and then you have the blue, which is like a sense of calmness. And it's like, going up and going down, and it's kind of like going through the motions. And that's kind of your book is really explaining a lot of different things. And I really like how you design the colors and design the cover. I think you did a great job.
Well, thank you.
If you
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, for sure. It looks great. If you had to give some tips to people about writing books, what would be some of the tips that you would like to share with people?
Well, the one we both said, know who you're writing to. Know how you want it to end. When somebody reads your book, if you had one chance to leave this reader that you've identified with something, if you could just leave them with one thing, what do you want them to know without a doubt
Yeah.
by the end of the book?
Right.
I like to do an outline and then go chapter by chapter. Don't edit till you're all done.
Yes.
Get it all out in a big, crazy, ugly draft. Edit later. Get all your ideas on paper. And then, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm not inspired today, or I'm not motivated today. Don't wait for motivation. That's kind of a hoax.
Yeah.
We need to schedule it. So
Right.
schedule time to write. And it doesn't have to be like a perfect, you can have a rhythm or season to your writing. For me, I don't work in perfect, like, oh, 2 hours today at this time. For me, it might be a chunk, like a month that I'm gonna write. And then I just know I don't really plan a lot of things in that month. And that's a writing month. But it does need, however, it's whatever works for the person. It does need to be scheduled, though. You just can't write when motivation strikes because that's not a thing.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I love your advice. It's amazing advice. Now tell me, right now you're in pre-launch session, right? So, where can people, purchase the book for a pre-launch right now?
It's available everywhere for pre-order where books are sold and at the online retailers. It comes out February 18th and then it will be available where books are sold in stores. I want to say for authors, pre-orders are so important because the way the algorithm, works right now, it changes all the time, but is all those pre-orders are the numbers calculated during launch week. And then, so book distribution is also, that's a whole other thing we don't have time to talk about on this call, but that's another thing is how, where those orders are coming from. If every single person bought on Amazon, the bestseller lists are looking at where are all these pre-orders coming from. They can't all come from one place. So your book distributor, like mine is Simon and Schuster, they will distribute these pre-orders accordingly. And that is all for that determines the bestseller lists. Like if you want to make an Amazon bestseller list, USA Today bestseller list, New York Times bestseller list. Now those are three way different levels with New York Times at the top and Amazon at the bottom. And so like there's numbers that you have to hit in order to make certain lists. But those numbers are looked at launch week. So pre-orders, like if you know someone writing a book and their book is available for pre-order, please pre-order it because that will help the author.
I love it. I love
Yeah, and the reason I should say too, like we already said, authors are not millionaires, and
it.
the reason for making the lists for me at least, it's not about notoriety or anything like that. It's because you spent a lot of time and work on your message. And so you want the message to have an impact. You're doing, I mean, we're doing it to serve people, to help people, to
A
get
hundred
these
percent.
words into the world. And the way that you can have an impact is by making these bestseller lists because it gets more exposure. So I should say that too. It's not about fame or I don't. I'm friends with a lot of authors. None of us are, there's easier ways to have fame and notoriety than grinding over writing a book. So, yeah.
It's so true. But we do it because we love what we do and we want to help people. And that's what really it boils down to, is just wanting to help people. Now, if people wanted to get in touch with you or maybe even find your book, can they find it on your website?
Yes, so my website's always updated, chrisjansencoaching.com. And from now till the end of February, we can go to graceyourselfbook.com and pre-order directly through me. And I still have a few bonuses left for bulk pre-orders that are there. I'm running out of them, but they're there now. So, but always you can always go to my website, chrisjansencoaching.com.
I love it. I love it. And just let people know a little about your background and your services, because you are an author, but you do life coaching and you have a great background, educational background. So share with people some of the services that you do also.
I have a master's in counseling psychology. My undergrad is psychology. And then when coaching came on the scene, I went back to school and became a board certified coach. So I work as a life coach and all my services are available. People can work with me and that's on my website, chrisjansencoaching.com.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Chris. I love having you on this show. I wish you the very best of luck. And tell everybody when it actually will be published, when it comes out.
February 18th,
I
this
love
month.
it. Oh, how exciting. Congratulations.
Thank
I'm
you.
very excited for you, and I'm so proud of you from all accomplishments that you've made. And I think this book is going to be fabulous, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. And thank you so much for taking the time out to write it and share with people and share your message. And I know it's going to be a success, and you're going to be able to help so many people because you have just a wonderful story, and your ideas of helping people and different methods and strategies are just unbelievable. So I really commend you for everything you do.
Thank you. Well, same to you. Thank you for writing all of your books and for everything you do. I mean, it's important work and I appreciate it.
Oh, same here. Same here. Well, you have a great day.
You too, Stacy.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye.